Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
Jacksonville, Florida. But yes, this is the day that the Lord
has made. And we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. We thank God for you joining us once again on the Hour of Power broadcast. You have time to call a neighbor, call a friend, and let them know that the Hour of Power broadcast is on the air. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Before we get ready to do this, we want to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Father, we praise you. We magnify your name. Lord, we thank you for the great, for the mighty things, God, that you have done, and the great and mighty things that you're going to do according to your word. Today, we thank you, Lord God, because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thy word have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Lord Jesus, those that are in our radio broadcast, those that are listening to this broadcast, those, God, that in far countries, of cities, of states, I pray, God, that you would touch them today. God, that you would bring revival, that you bring restoration. God, that you would encourage them. God, that you would give them that high to high and that in thee. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for all that you're going to do according to your word. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. That you are listening to the Hour of Power broadcast. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, the preacher of the hour. We're going to be coming from the word of God, not from the best newspaper in the country, not from the best magazine that you may have read on yesterday, but we are coming from the word of God that can be refuted, that cannot be unproven, because the word of God is the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God that is able to save our souls. We're going to be coming from the New Testament on today. Remember, we have the Old and we have the New Testament. We're going to be coming from the New Testament, which is in the book of Luke. We're going to be, the chapter today is chapter 15. I want to begin to just bring you into the topic and into the letter that the word of God has written to us today. And I want to begin to at that first verse, and it says, "Then drew near to him all the Republicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receives sinners and eat with them. And he spoke this parable to them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep? If he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he has found it, he lays it upon the shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." I want to let you know today, if we would use as a topic, I would use, "Lord, restore me, for I have sinned." And again, that is coming from Luke, the 15th chapter. And I just wanted to give you the importance of knowing that how important people are to God. No matter if they are black, white, red, yellow. They're all precious in their sight. And not only that, that even as when we began to look at the beginning of the parable of the man, that in the beginning how this man had began to let the Lord let them know how important it was to rejoice over that which belongs to him, even when that person is out of place with God, how it is important that which belongs to him, that which belongs to God, is God. And we see that sometimes that people don't want to receive sinners. They don't want to receive people that have not given their lives unto God. But God is letting them know about the sheep. He's telling them how the man that had 99 sheep, but he had lost one of the sheep, and he went out in the wilderness. He went out in order to get that one sheep. Somebody will say, well, he had 100. Why would he go and leave those 99 and go look for that lost sheep? Why? Because it was precious unto him. And that is the way that God wants us to look at his people, look at the sinner, look at those that have not given their lives to him, and to those that have backslided. So when we began to look at that 11th verse of the 15th chapter of Luke, it says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided to him his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. When we began to look at the first part of this parable that God was giving unto them in a relationship to a man that had two sons. They were his sons that God had given him. He was undoubtedly proud of these two sons that he had raised, that he had nourished, that he had taken care of him. But then there came a day when the younger son, he said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good. So he knew that his father had an inheritance for him. He knew that his father had saved for him. He knew that his father had put something aside for him that he was going to have in later life. So therefore, he didn't want to wait until later. He didn't want to wait until he was mature, because when we look at it, it seemed as though he thought that, you know, I don't want to waste any time. I know that my father has put money, goods, away from me, and I want to take that which I have, which my father has for me, and I want to take it, and I want to do what I want to do with it, my portion. It doesn't matter when my father that designated time that he wanted to give it to me, but I want to take this, and I want to spend it the way that I wanted to spend this. So the word of God tells us that the father gave him the portion, the good that fell to him, and when he did, he divided to him his living. He gave him the portion that he had for his younger son. I don't know. The scripture didn't tell us how he acted when he was talking to his dad. You know, sometimes we look at our children, we look at other children, children in the family, how they get outraged and how they begin to act up and say, why can't I have it? Why can't I have something that's going to be eventually mine anyhow? And so, therefore, I don't know. The scripture did not tell us the way that this son lifted or the way that he may have acted. But all the scripture tells us is that he requested the money, the portion that belonged to him. So when we look at the word, it says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. He gathered everything that he had. And the word says he took his journey into a far country. It didn't tell us that he went next door or he went down the street, but he went into a far country, meaning that I want to be able to do what I want to do without my father or anybody telling me what to do. I want to get connected to and have fun to the people that I want to join in and have fun with. So he went into the far country. And when he went into the far country, he wasted his substance, everything that his dad had given him. And he wasted with riotous living. He thought that, oh, I'm having a great time before. I'm having a good time. I don't believe that he really have ever probably went anywhere like he was doing as the scriptures tell us. But the word let us know that he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. That was a mighty famine, not just a famine, but it was a mighty famine in the land. And this young man, he began to be in want. He was a severe need. He didn't have what he was blessed to have before. He was in that far country. He was in a place that he wasn't really loved and cared, and people didn't really know him. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. In other words, he had longed to fill his belly because he was hungry. He was desperate. He didn't have that steak. He didn't have that pork chop. He didn't have those grits or whatever this dad had at home, whatever the servant served him. He didn't even probably have to cook it. But he was at a far country. He was far away from his family, from his father that made provision, that provided for him. He was far away from the father that loved him, the father that embraced him, the father that cared about him, the father that loved him so much. He was away from him. We have to be careful how far we go. We have to be careful when we move from out of the presence of the Father. Oh, my God. When we look at this Bible, when we look at the Word of God, when we look at what God is saying to him and to us today, this man, this young son began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. That's what he was doing from a house of plenty to being able to go and to feed swine, and came to the point that he wanted to eat was eating, that the swine was eating, because he was so hungry. And then it tells us that no man gave to him. I'm sure why he had all the money that he said his father had given him, he had friends. But when the money was gone, the friends was gone as well. And the word tells us that no man gave unto him. And one of the important points that we want to bring to you today, even as we read this word of God, and that's what I need you to listen very carefully. In that 17th verse of the 15th chapter of Luke, it says, and when he came to himself, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Like I'm going to die with hunger. I feel like at the point that I'm going to die, perish is to die. He say, I perish with hunger. If you don't eat, you'll come to the point of starvation, and you have to get a spirit of malnutrition, and you begin to be able at that point of salvation, you're getting in the process of dying. But the young man came to himself, as the word of God said. What he said was, he said, I will arise and go to my father. I'll go to my father and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. He remembered how good he had it when he was in his father's house. You remember that song say, come and go with me to my father's house? There is joy in my father's house. He remembered the good times. He remembered the times that he was, at the time he was in his father's house. And he began to reminisce on the servants that he had and the bread that even the servants had to eat. So he had made up his mind that I'm going to go to my father. And he was saying, I'm going to tell my father, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. I know that I've done wrong. I know that I've sinned. I know that I've wasted my money. He said, but make me as one of your hired servants. And this young man, he arose. He hadn't yet come to his father. But yet he had already rehearsed in his mind what I'm going to say, because he was tired. He was tired of not having, tired of not being able to eat, tired of not having a soft bed to lay in, tired of not having anybody to care about him, tired because he didn't have anybody that really loved him. Come on. So he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. In other words, he had pity on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Oh, what a father. Oh, what a father would do for his son. Oh, what a father would do for his people. The father seen the boy. He seen his son from afar off. And the word of God tells us that he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. He didn't rebuke him. He didn't say, I told you so. He didn't say, you wicked son, why are you coming back to me? Didn't I tell you? Didn't you know better going out into the world and doing all these terrible things, and now you're back? and want to have the comfort of having the place that I have provided for you and your brother? No, he didn't say that. But he went and he fell, he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said to his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. Come on, he repented. He repented and am no more worthy. I mean, come on, all that pride. All that I want, give me this, give me that, all of that was gone away. He said, I'm not worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. He didn't tell the servant to bring any robe, but he said to him, he said to the servant, bring the best robe and put it on him. And not only put that robe on him, I want you to put a ring on his hand, on his fingers. And not only that, put a ring on him. Come on, restoration time is here. He say, put shoes on his feet. I mean, look, the man had come to a point that he did not have, but he made up in his mind that I'm going back to the Father. Somebody ought to hear me today. Somebody ought to hear the preacher today. Somebody ought to hear what God is saying today. No matter how you may have sinned, no matter where you are, maybe you went to a foreign land, maybe you were saved, maybe you knew Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but yet you decided that I'm going to a foreign land. I'm going to hook up with the hookers. I'm going to hook up with the drunkards. I'm going to hook up with the liar. I'm going to hook up with the fornicators. I'm going to hook up with those that does not love God. But God is saying to you, even as that young son, when he came to himself, oh, my God, he's saying, he had to come to himself. There are many of you out there today that need to come to yourself. He came to himself. He rehearsed what he's going to say to his dad because he knew that he had sinned against God and he had sinned in against his father as well. But when he came, as I said before, his father didn't abuse him. He didn't ridicule, abuse him with words. He didn't turn him away. He seen him far away. God see you even as you're coming, even you thinking that I need to go back to the Father. I need to come to my Father. I need to embrace him. I need the love of God. I know that I've sinned. I know that I've come short of the glory of God. But I need the Father. I need his comfort. I need his love. I need him to caress me. I need him to hold me. I need him to love on me. Even as the Father received his son, when he said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And not only did he stop there, but he said, and bring here the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. It was a time for them to be merry. Why? Why? Somebody say, why are they rejoicing? Because this young man, he done spent all his goods. He done been out there riot living. He doesn't have anything to show for it. But God, look on the outward appearance. But God looking on the heart. It's restoration time. Lord, the topic today is, Lord, restore me, for I have sinned. As this young man, Father, he knew that he had sinned against God and sinned against his father. His father had them prepare that fatted calf so they could eat and be merry. But this, he said, but this my son was dead. Dead in sin, dead in transgression. Not physically dead, but spiritually dead. He said, for this my son, but this my son is alive again. He was lost. How many of you can understand what the Father is saying? How many of you that was lost in your sin, even after you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? How many of you can say today that I once was lost, but now I am found? The blind, but now I see. And here, he said, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to be merry. But look at how his brother, you remember it was two brothers. One left with the money and went out with the righteous living. The other stayed, worked, took care of his dad. But yet, look at the heart of the elder, the oldest brother. It says in that 25th verse, now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother is come. And your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and entreated him, pleaded to him. In other words, the father was showing love for the brother, for the sinner, for the son that was lost. But the elder brother, he was angry. He was upset. He did not understand. He could not understand why would his father do make merry? Why would his father kill a fat calf for this brother that sinned and took his money and wasted his money with riding, really, living. So his brother would not go in. The elder brother would not go in. Can you not see the world with sinners and with those that are backslided? When we won't receive them, when we won't embrace them, when we won't take them in, that we're judgmental about their living, when we won't allow them to come back into the fold, this is not the heart of God. This young son, the elder son, he was angry because he didn't understand why would his father throw a party, give a celebration for somebody that has sinned, somebody been out there in the world, somebody that calls himself having a good time. This is what the elder son said to his father. And he answered and said to his father, Lord, these many years do I serve you. All my years, you know, I'll serve you, Father. I neither transgress at any time your commandment. What you told me to do, Dad, I did it. And yet you never gave me a kid. You never killed a fatty cat for me that I might make merry, that I might make merry with my friends. I'm still here. I'm helping you. But you never did this for me. But as soon as this your son, he didn't say my brother because he was angry, but as soon as this your son was come, which has defiled your living with harlots, you have killed for him the fatted calf. And he said to him, son, this is what the father said, This is what the Father said. Son, you are ever with me, and all that I have is yours. It was me that we should make merry and be glad, but this your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. It is so neat. It is so fitting that we rejoice with those that have been out in the world. It is so fitting and it's so right for us to rejoice when the backslider come back to Christ. It is so fitting that we embrace them, that we forgive them, even as Christ has forgiven them. But the word of God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the word of God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, my God, we should rejoice. We should be happy. In the same scripture, it tells us about the woman that had coins. She lost one of her coins. She had lighted a candle. She began to sweep the house to find that coin. And when she found that one coin that she was looking for, she called her neighbors, and they began to rejoice because of that coin. Oh, how we have missed it. Oh, how we have not rejoiced when sinners are saved. How we have not embraced those that have come back to Jesus Christ. Plainly we see the repentance in the life of this young man. The word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is God that we can have everlasting life. It is only God that we can give him our all and all. It is only God that we can live this life that we can live again. So what I'm saying to you today, it's time for us to rejoice. It's time for us to be happy. It's time for us to know that a sinner that was dead in sin and transgression is back and is alive again, was lost, but now it is found. Some of you out there today that are backsliding, it's time for you to come back to Christ. Some of you that have not been saved, that have not given Christ your life, it's time for you to come to Christ. For the word of God says, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. Word of God says that we shall be saved. And even as the Father embraced the Son, even as the Father kissed that Son, even as the Father showed his love for this Son, God wants to show his love to you. No matter what you have done, no matter what you have said, no matter where you've been, it may have been years, but God wants you to come on back to him. I don't care how long it has been. I don't know how long you've been away from the Father, but the Father did not forget about you. I don't know how long you were out there living in riots, living out there in sin and transgression, but the Father wants to embrace you. The Father wants to love you and forgive you for all that you have done, even as the Father waited for his younger son. Oh, my God. He's seen him coming. And he came and he embraced him. God want to do the same thing for you. Today, as I said before, the Father, let us know if we confess with our mouth. Lord, why don't you say this with me even now? Lord, forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart. save me, deliver me, make me free. I love you, God. Make me, God, that my mind and my soul will be only committed unto you, and make me yours forever. And Lord, I thank you. I repent, and I thank you for all that you've done in my life and all that you're going to do according to your word in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer with me today, I want you to know that God has forgiven you for your sins. No matter what you have done, God has forgiven you. He has cast your sins unto the sea of forgetfulness, and he will remember it no more. You are now a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things pass away. All things become new. It is our desire, it is God's desire, that you get closer and closer to him. And the only way that you can do that, the Bible says, to study to show thyself approved unto God, workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. It's important that you read the word of God. It's important that you study the word of God, because the word said in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. If we don't study the word, how can we have that relationship with him? How can we know him when his word is the truth? He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So my desire and God's desire for you today is that you read the word and that you pray. God will direct your path. God will show you what to do and how to do it. It is better than the best directory. It is better than the best dictionary. It will lead you into a roadmap to eternal life, that you can be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord, knowing that your labor will not be in vain. You have been listening to the Hour of Power broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I'm Pastor Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Please tune in with us on this coming Wednesday at the very same time. Tell your friends, your associates, that the Hour of Power will be on the air, and you got to hear the word of God. You got to hear it. So may God bless you and keep you. Is our prayer.